I'm hesitant to hold back. I think I'm too old to worry about that, but I never did worry about it. Interesting. Because of my mother's old expression, it's, you know, it's on her a lot is on her time.
Right.
That's very good.
If someone, an ordinary person, me for instance, wanted you to examine a pathology report.
Oh yeah, you could do that. It might be a little complicated, but you have to remember that the material that's taken from you is your property. So they don't own those things. The hospital, say you get something taken off or out, or how you want to look at it, at Shadyside, and I'm at Allegheny General. Like you just tell them, you'd call me, and I'd say, well, Barbara, what you have to do is just tell them that you want the slides sent to me at Allegheny General. And they'll do it, because they're afraid that you're bringing a lawyer. There's the rub of the whole situation.
It's the lawyer.
My son-in-law's one, too.
My son is an attorney.
My son-in-law's one. That's a new religion. That's a new religion. That's the religion that supersedes Judaism, Christianity. No moral laws are made by the church anymore. They're made by lawyers. This is a lawyer-ridden
and they keep pumping them up. Well, let's go on to another question. What do you view is your most significant accomplishment?
Well, I guess the one that I look upon was the starting point of the whole business, the new approach to cancer, which really evolved from the study I did with Turnbull in 1952 or 3 or 4, I forget, it's 52, which strongly implicated cancer as a systemic disease.
Explain systemic.
It's not only local. Cancer of the breast, we don't worry, it's in the breast. You can take the breast off, you can take the tumor out without taking the breast off. That's all it was, there wouldn't be any problem. But what kills people with cancer, not the cancer, the cancer of the breast is not cancer in the breast. When it spreads to the brain, when it spreads to the liver, when it spreads to the lungs, that's what kills them. Now that's systemic spread throughout the system. Now, no local treatments are going to cure that. Taking the breast off not going to cure a bunch of metastases. Forget it, the game's over. Now, to treat that, you can't use radiation treatment of the breast isn't going to affect something in your brain. Radiation of something in the brain isn't going to affect it when it's in the liver. Now, you can't totally irradiate. So you use another approach which is radiation-like, but it's systemic, and that's chemotherapy. It's a drug. It's like penicillin, an antibiotic. It goes throughout the entire body. So that means it's a systemic disease. Once you appreciate that, that's what really leads to just doing a lot better. And it's interesting that even though certain small percentage of when they do the lumpectomy will recur in the breast, still the survival has no influence whatsoever in survival. When you compare it to people who had mastectomy, there's a bad tumor here that's going to kill if you do lumpectomy. There's a bad tumor when you take the breast off. You randomize the bad, this group has a bad tumor, so many bad tumors, this group gets them, and this group, three groups, if you randomize them, all three get the same amount of bad tumors, all three get the same amount of good tumors, all three will get the same amount of things that aren't even cancer, so you don't even have to worry about it. That's why the whole hullabaloo, when my brother was taken over the Coles, by people who were intellectual pygmies. Pure and simple. Didn't understand. The National Cancer Institute did not even understand what a randomized trial really represented. Period. I think I don't say any more about it.
What do you think, while we're on the subject, what's your opinion of silicone implants?
You mean siliconian implants? Silicone. Oh, in what regard? Yeah, makes
for
a small breast a big breast.
Yeah.
I doubt that it's... What about it? Yeah. Oh, no.
for cosmetic purposes.
Well, there's only one cosmesis breast. And that is lumpectomy. You cannot tell that lady was ever even lumpectomy. You cannot improve on that. Now, there are reconstructions. You talk about reconstruction, say somebody takes a breast off and they do a reconstruction. That's not silicone implant. Silicone implants where somebody has a small breast and you build it up.
Oh, really?
A reconstruction is different. They bring over muscles, the chest wall, and so forth, build it up to look like a breast. It's an average. It's not as good as something. And the greatest thing for mammography, see, people don't admit it, but it is. It's obvious. What? It detects small tumors. Now, you can't take a golf ball out of a cupcake and get something that looks cosmetically acceptable. As you take the breast off. Whether you can do lumpectomy or not depends on the relationship of the size of the tumor to the size of the breast. You can take a golf ball out of a pillow. Never know there was any golf ball in there. You can take a peanut out of a cupcake. You never know that there was anything in there. That's basically, and that's the main simple, stupid thing that people don't understand as well as many doctors. In fact, I should have brought you my most recent publication, which is entitled Lumpectomy and Much More. It explains all. Which I'm on the editorial board. That's why it was probably published.
Was that just published?
Pardon?
Was that just
Yeah,
published?
Just published. All of these. But anyway. So anyway, and I still do other pathology, general pathology. I was trained as a general pathologist. But most of my concentration is
in retrospect, is there something that you might do differently than you had done in your, let's say, in your career, in your medical?
I don't think so. How about
your life?
Good.
That's good to be proud of everything.
It probably turned out worse.
So there is nothing in your life that you wish you could have changed?
I don't think so. That'd be all wishful thinking. You know, that doesn't pay off. The second guess.
You published so much. What would you say was your most important writing? Or were your most important writing?
There's some in there. I can't recall them all. I have to look at them. There's 580 of them,
right.
So I can't.
579.
Yeah, well.
There's a new one.
It's a new one, 80. I think the one that really is not really appreciated is that one that done in 1952. One about the significance of circulating tumor cells in patients with colorectal carcinoma. It's the one that established that this disease is a. In fact, it's a systemic disease, and I'll tell you how that was provoked. It was when I was a resident in pathology, and the surgeons there, when they took out cancer of the bowel or cancer of the breast, they always wanted to know how many lymph nodes were involved. And if you got the 20, they wanted 40. And if you got the 40, they wanted 100 before. You couldn't get 100 before. That's what they wanted. Surgeons worshipped at the shrine of the lymph node. Now, the lymph node was a local manifestation of disease. Meanwhile, people were dying because of liver involvement, brain involvement, lung involvement, secondary, metastasis. So I says, hell, this is stupid. Just simple observation like that. So I demonstrated that patients with cancer of the colon, you can see the cancer cells circulating. So it was obviously a systemic disease. That led to all the new thoughts on cancer. So my brother sees the point rather quickly. He's one of the few.
I hear people who have had breast cancer talking about lymph nodes, and I never went into it with them. Even recently.
Those are to cancer, let's say breast. The drainage is into the pump. But sometimes, and most of the times, if they're going to spread, they spread there. into the armpit. But many times, the tumor cells can bypass the lymph nodes and become systemic. Or they may stay in the lymph node and then become systemic. But too much attention has been placed in here in the lymph nodes. There is a relationship between the number of lymph nodes that are involved and survival. But they are indicators. Lymph node involvement are indicators of systemic disease, not instigators. That was something that was demonstrated by the NSABP, principally my brother and I. Principally my brother seized upon that. They are indicators of systemic disease, not instigators. That all came out of them. See, because I showed that in the blood draining back in 1952, the blood draining of cancer of the rectum contained tumor cells. The lymph nodes could be involved or not involved. That wasn't the important thing. It was the circulating tumor cells that was important, killing people. Nobody ever died because their lymph nodes were involved. Although it's an indicator, it means it's a bad tumor when the lymph nodes are involved. That's a bad tumor. But that doesn't kill you, and it doesn't spread more from there.
It doesn't.
No. They are indicators. It's a prognostic indicator. And it used to be that if your lymph nodes were involved, that was an indication that you had to get chemotherapy. And if they weren't, you wouldn't get chemotherapy. But we now know that the survival is not as good as we originally thought when there are no lymph nodes involved. So now it is advantageous to give systemic therapy whether the lymph nodes are involved or not. And we're coming to the point now where we're not even going to bother to take the lymph nodes out. So that's how one thing has to go on top of another.
How's that for advancement?
Yes, that's a big advancement.
It's fine unless you're sitting in my situation. I had a radical mastectomy in 1973.
Well, that was just...
And they took out 27 lymph nodes, which were all clear, and I had no treatment whatsoever.
Yeah, that was the vogue in those days. Well, you don't need it.
Well, I hope not.
Rushed, oh God, 24 years. It's fantastic. But there wasn't.
Well, I'm alive.
There wasn't. Lumpectomy. You had
no option.
You had no option.
They didn't tell me anything.
We showed the first study that was shown by NSABP was that you did mastectomy, but you didn't have to do the radical mastectomy. It would give you the same result as if you did a radical mastectomy.
That's right.
That didn't come out until 1975.
I was 2 years too sick.
A mastectomy and a radical
they take everything
well,
out
the
of
muscles.
Here. I'm just totally wiped out.
Yeah, they wiped you out. And that was the treatment for 100 years. Actually, it was the treatment for 100 years. There's still 5% of the people getting radical mastectomies.
So it's asinine. It's absolutely. And then I went back for a checkup maybe 10 years later, and he said to me, well, we wouldn't have had to do all this surgery. I don't know what he was telling me.
Yeah, well, he's an innocent. He's not even a good doctor. He doesn't even have to talk to a person with that disease. You just say,
you know what? I didn't want that one tape. we'll take that out.
At the close of last week's interview, you were very philosophical, and you said, a surgeon, and then you had, there were three, and then you said, and a pathologist knows everything and does everything one day too late.
That's the old saying.
But you said
a surgeon knows nothing and does everything.
Knows nothing and does everything. Did you write that? That
yes, I know.
And an internist knows everything and does nothing.
That was.
Of course, a psychiatrist knows nothing and does nothing. A pathologist knows everything and does everything, and unfortunately it's one day too late. So it takes a day to get the slides
right.
Ready to read it.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
Because we know that you're a very busy person. We appreciate it. And we've learned quite a lot about you and your profession.
Well, that wasn't so bad.
Hope you can turn it off.